have the word in our minds, but to have to be that word, to be living epistles in this last day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. We just continue to pray for Brother Wade as he travels, and that the Lord would just keep him healthy, keep him strong, and bring him back safely. And just remember all the requests and needs and everything that's been mentioned through here. And we're just going to go directly to the Word. Amen. So this evening, I want to talk a little topic, kind of going piggybacking on the seals that Brother Wade's been preaching. But I want to hone in on something specifically. Amen. And so let's just start with Isaiah, reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And I put verses 1 through 5, but it's only one verse here. So I apologize for that. It says here, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" So in other words, in the Amplified version, that scripture says this: "Who has believed confidently, trusted in, or relied on and adhered to our message of salvation, and to whom, if not us, has the arm and infinite power of the Lord been revealed?" Amen. And then from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." How many believe that? Amen. God has an appointed time for every single thing that he does. Amen. It's not just randomly or he's got a certain time. Of course, it depends also on the readiness of where you're at as well. But it's a certain specific time where he does things. And that's very key. And that's what I want to focus on this evening. So let's just bow our heads this evening. How many have a need on their heart? You just want to make it known by uplifting your hand. God knows everything. God knows what the need behind that hand is. And so we know that he's more than able to fulfill and to meet that need. Lord Jesus, we just thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to just open back the pages of your word, Lord. We've done what we could do, Father, to study and to look into these things. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just do the rest, Lord God Almighty. I can't give anybody revelation, but I know, Father God, that you as the Holy Spirit can, Lord, because you said in your word, Lord God, that your Spirit, Father God, will lead us and guide us unto all truth. And Lord Jesus, we just commit this time into your hands. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. Meet every need, Lord God, as the word is going forth. You speak to your people, Heavenly Father. We just commit Brother Wade into your hands as he's out, Lord. We pray that you'd bring him back safely. Keep his health, Lord God Almighty. Touch him. And just, Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for allowing us this time once again to get together. We pray and we ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go Brother Wade style tonight. White background Word document. Amen. Praise God. So I just wanted to point out that today is marked 63 years since the first seal was opened. This week, this exact week, is when Brother Branham was preaching the seals 63 years ago. And the first seal was preached today. The day before, it was the two services that he had, which was this God revealing himself in simplicity, and then the breach between the seals at night, Sunday night. But this was Monday, the next day, and he preached the first seal. Now, it, you know, to a lot of people, the majority of the world doesn't even realize that such a great event had taken place. 63 years ago. You think about all the different things that have happened since then in the world and amongst, you know, even in our lives. I wasn't even born at the time. Some of you all smiling at me, you say, yeah, I was. And even you didn't even realize what was taking place at that time. Yeah. But something great was taking place. And I want to point out that, you know, Brother Wade, you know, he's been bringing out, he hasn't told me to say none of what I'm about to say. I'm just telling you the importance of the things that Brother Wade has been preaching lately. And even Brother Dale, who's brought it out several years ago back and even back to the time when Brother Branham preached these things, we can't undermine, amen, the value of what we have in this our day. CNN, Fox News, and nobody have no idea what has taken place. But this that we have is hidden in a people who has been predestinated and has been called, amen. And in the mind of God, God knew all of this. And God knew exactly the point and the time when these seals and all these revelations, these mysteries, amen, they were hidden in the back parts of the minds of God, of the mind of God. And you being part of that mystery, just think about it. Because God didn't just have seals and thunders and vials and things like that in his mind. He had you involved with these seals and thunders and vials and things in trumpets in the back part of his mind. So you, amen, being here in having come down to earth, and you came at the time that you came, it was the exact time that God needed you to be here in order for you to be the receptor or the on the receiving end to receive what God had already thought about you before the foundation of the world. Amen? Amen. So it's no coincidence, and it's not happenstance, and it's wonderful and great what we have in the hour that we live in. Amen? Because, you know, I look at things online and I read things and I watch videos and other commentators and other preachers and things like that, and a lot of them are just probing and just thinking that this means that and the this first seal means this and the second seal means that and this is what the thunders mean. But they have no clue that God doesn't need the great big cathedrals, the popes of the world. God doesn't need, amen, great big things to or great sounding trumpets to announce the greatest events and the greatest things that have ever happened, amen, or transpired through the Word of God, amen. God, all he needed was a seventh grade education little man. That's all he needed. And maybe some of us, amen, we've gone beyond seventh grade. I would say probably most of us have. So you probably in the educational realm and in the physical, you probably know a little more than even the prophet did. But amen, God decided, amen, to reveal these things, amen, to a little uneducated man from Kentucky. And it was the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world, to be quite honest with you. And the world has no idea that it took place. They're celebrating anniversaries right now for other things and different things, the Olympics and all this kind of stuff. And, oh, it's just wonderful and great and big and a lot of lights and a lot of sound and a lot of things. And God decided to just hone in on just this little tabernacle there in Jeffersonville, Indiana, on a little corner 63 years ago. And day by day, the angel of the Lord, the same angel, would come in and reveal, amen, seal 1, seal 2, seal 3. Not just for Brother Branham, but that was for you and me. Think about that. So I want to put it, into context or into perspective how important the hour that we live in is, because that's how God works. He works in the secret and in the silence of things. Amen. It wasn't the thunders and the big hurricanes and the things that got Elijah's attention when we read the story in Elijah. Amen. But it was the still small voice that came in that got Elijah's attention and that spoke to him in a mighty way. Amen. So that's what we want to touch upon. So we know that God did it in such a humble and so quiet-like, and the world doesn't know anything about it. Amen. And Brother Branham, we preach God revealing simplicity before starting the seals, which we just touched about. So why is it so important for us to have these seals revealed? Amen. And I want to get into the scriptures here in John chapter 12, verse 27, if you just want to follow with me here. Because what Jesus does is, Jesus' purpose was to confirm by a voice or a thunder from heaven. And this is what the scripture says. Now, Jesus speaking, he says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." In other words, Jesus was coming down to the point where it was time for him to die, right? And he knew it. Amen. And so he was saying, shall I say, "Lord, save me from this"? Amen. But he says here, "But for this purpose, I came to this hour." Amen. He knew exactly what his purpose was. Amen. He knew that he had to die. Amen. He knew that that was the only way, because it was written of him. And what he was more concerned about was about fulfilling the scriptures. Amen. And I believe in this hour, amen, that the bride, amen, in this hour, what she's more concerned about is that the scriptures be fulfilled. Amen. Not just in what's happening on the outside, amen, but in her life. Praise God, because that's what God wants, a living word, amen, a word that is living through you and I in this hour. He needed to have a little kid and a teenager and an adult and an older person, amen, in Laodicea in order to live out the word, amen. So it couldn't be that it was just all Brother Branham that did it or the preacher that does it for me. No, amen, there has to be somebody in this hour to receive, to be that receptor of the word and to be able to live out the word for the moment that they're in, amen. To defeat the enemy and the problem that they're having. Now, I don't know what your problem is, and but God knows. God knows what you may be going through or what your most urgent request is. Amen. And he needs you, and he allowed that problem to come into your life, amen, in order for you to have victory over that thing. So that you could be participants of this seven thunders. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus says, for this purpose, I came to this hour. So we see here that even though Jesus knew who he was, his soul was still troubled. Amen. He was a human just like you and I. So he felt the agony. We know what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't want to go die. He didn't want to go. As a human, he didn't want to do that, because he knew what was going to happen to him. He was going to die the lowest death, the most cruel death that could ever have existed and probably has existed even to this day. And that was a Roman crucifixion. Amen. And to die that way. But yet, you and I were pulling for it. Amen. You and I, amen, what he saw in the back parts of his mind, amen, he was doing everything for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that we have troubles on every hand in the day that we're living in. I mean, the problems just don't seem to, you seem, oh, well, next year it's going to be better. And I just know it, but the problems just accumulate. Amen. they don't change. Seems like things are getting bleaker by the minute, and then what we see in the news and the problems and oh my goodness, that family member did this or that. it surprises from every corner. But yet, God knew that you were going to be here during those surprises. And he had it. It's like I told the people there at Brother Tim Calhoun's. He had your trials specially prepared for you. I mean, the ingredients were exactly made just for you. Because he knew that you needed those so that you can overcome. Amen. Amen. We're going to bring Esther here in just a little while. Amen. And I want you to see yourself as we look at through the life of in the life of Esther. Amen. But we see that Jesus had a purpose, and you have a purpose. Amen. That you're not here to just be here. Amen. You're here to fulfill something in the hour that we're living in. Amen. You might be wondering, well, I don't know why. I just can't seem to find the exact job that I want. I just can't seem to get it, to where I feel like the Lord is calling me. But just hang tight. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Amen. Stay put. Amen. Stay with what you have at the moment. Amen. Because the footsteps of the righteous, are you righteous? He's made you righteous. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, brother, the Lord Jesus keeps saying here, Father, glorify your name. And then it says, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Hallelujah. Amen. So the ministry of Jesus, amen, was totally vindicated, amen. And it's interesting that he says, and I will glorify it again, amen. Praise God. And I believe that he's doing that through a bride in this hour, amen. Therefore, the people who stood by, and watch this now. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Right? Now, I went through searching in the scriptures and I thought that when Jesus got baptized and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, I couldn't find where people had heard thunder at that moment. Amen. But this is the only time where we see that people thought it thundered. Amen. Now, Jesus knew exactly what the Father had told him. Amen. Because he had the right receptors, kind of like an antenna, amen, like a radio antenna that you have to, in order for you to pick up the right signal, amen, it has to be tuned to the right signal, right? To somebody else, amen, or a decoded or encoded message, right? To somebody else, it might come through garbled, amen, but to the right receptor, amen, it comes in loud and clear. And Jesus at that moment, who was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, amen, it came in loud and clear, right? But it says here in verse 29, therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him, amen? But you see, this voice that came through, amen, it could only be spiritually discerned, amen? Praise God. You have to know, amen, because otherwise you're going to be guessing. You're going to be probing. And that's what a lot of people are doing in this hour, amen, with the word of God, guessing, probing, amen. When we have an absolute in the hour that we're living in, and even as Brother Branham had preached the message, amen, the seals were open, and still people are still yet probing and looking at things when Brother Branham clearly said, don't do that. Amen. He said, don't be guessing on these things. He said, you better know that you know, amen, what you're talking about. Praise God. Because it's only that spiritual receptor, amen, that's going to be able to discern the things and know exactly what the word is talking about, what God is talking about, while the world, amen, is just hearing garbly gook. Or gargly gook. Is that how you say it? Some kid help me here. I know you guys, you kids use those words. So we need the exact thing, amen, in this hour. Now, Jesus continues to say here in verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice, see, to him it was a voice, praise God, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Amen? Praise God. Now, and so in verse 31, it says here, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now notice what's taking place when this voice comes out. It's at the end of Jesus' ministry. Amen. When was it that Brother Branham preached the seals? Nearing the end of his ministry, when the thunders were sounded, and this is when thunder sounded. It was at Jesus' end, the end of ministry, which is the end, almost the end time, right? And it says, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Satan won't be any, he don't have eternal life like you and me do. Amen. He can't have eternal life like you and me can. Praise God. Because he only reads the book, amen, and only reads superficially. But he does not understand and can't have that receptor within him to understand the back part of the book. Amen. Which is what you and I are getting in this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 10. Now we see that there was a thunder there in Jesus' ministry that took place. A voice came out to give him strength, amen, but also to let us know, amen, how it ties in with other parts in the scriptures, just like what we're about to read here in Revelation chapter 10. And it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Notice that this angel came down from heaven, right? Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Amen? We know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And watch, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen? So each thunder had its own voice, right? Praise the Lord. And watch verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, John was about to write. He says, I was about to write, which means that he saw what those thunders had said, right? Because you're not about to write something if you don't know what something is said, right? So he knew what those thunders were saying. Praise God. I want you to stop and think about something, amen? Because everything that you need for the rapture, and everything that you have that you need for a resurrection lies in you already. I want you to understand that. See, John, amen, he knew exactly. He had seen, amen, what those thunders had said. But watch what he says. And I heard a voice from heaven. Now, this voice was from heaven. The same voice that spoke there in verse 1 where it says, a mighty angel come down from heaven. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, unto John, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. You have to understand that all this in the mind of God is already done. Amen. So when you came down, because remember, John is a type of the bride. Amen. Amen. And I believe that's I don't care what the enemy says, what the devil says. Amen. The bride, amen, in this hour is on the move. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. And she has the final voice to the final age. Amen. So here John is getting ready to write, but then he's told, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter. Amen. So John knew exactly what those seven thunders had uttered. The mystery contained in those thunders became part of John. Amen? And so the mystery contained in the bride is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? That's the same mystery, amen, that of that Genesis 1:26. That mystery already lies inside of you. Amen? Everything that you need of, amen, is already inside of you. Praise God. Now you say, well, Brother Luis, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I don't understand. Don't worry. The time will come that will reveal those things personally to you. It might take trials. It might take your son and daughter to backslide. It might take, amen, a family member to die. It might take something, amen, in your life to cause you, amen, for what God has done in you, for that to come out. Amen? Because you may not understand it, but amen. But if you have the Holy Ghost and you have the new birth, amen, you have these thunders laying within you right now. These seals are opened up in your life, amen. But you may not understand it right now, but just keep walking. Just keep walking, little by little, bit by bit, praise God. Do you know that man, that Genesis 1:26, your soul is sitting in heavenly places? Your soul right now, Brother Branham said, that it is right now in the Garden of Eden, just like Adam was, spiritually speaking, right? And there was no sin. There was no death. There was no sickness. No sad moments. It was just bliss. Amen? It was just bliss. Praise God. That's where your soul should be at right now. No matter how many bombs are falling all around us, no matter how much gas is going up, no matter how much the oil prices and gold and everything is going up and my pay keeps going down, and I can't fill my buggy again like I used to, amen, just a year ago at Walmart. Amen, but there's a peace and a rest inside your soul. Amen? Oh, my. That is where God wants us to be in the hour when things get even worse than what they are right now. You know, we're living in a total chaotic world. It's crazy. You can't trust anybody anymore. You can't trust politicians. You can't trust anybody. You can't trust the media. You can't trust anybody. But that's exactly where God wants us to be. Because there's nothing else to trust, amen, but this word. And this word, amen, is already inside of you. And so it's going to take exactly those hard moments, amen, for that thing to come out at the right moment, at the right time, amen? Praise God. So, in verse 5 here, continuing in Revelation 10, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Amen. So in other words, this is it. This is where this thing has to unfold. Amen. So this revelation of these mysterious thunders is about to break forth. Now, but watch in verse 7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished." Amen? So it's at the sounding of this angel, amen, and we know that was Brother Branham. I mean, there's no qualms about it. If you're a message believer, amen, you know that was him, amen. It was when he sounded, amen, these mysteries that were contained in those seven thunders that John saw, amen, it was what Brother Branham was sent to reveal, amen? The mysteries were already there. It was already written. It was nothing new. It was something that was already there. It's just that we needed a prophet in this hour to point those mysteries out to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So really, it was already lying in the Word the whole time. Amen. Praise God. So that's why these mysteries of the seven thunders had a specific time to break forward. And in the most wicked age ever, mind battles, soul vexing problems. Amen. That's when God decided to send a prophet. Amen. To open these things back to us. Aren't you glad for that? But the world has no idea that that has happened. They're still thinking that these things are taking place, and that the right red horse rider is this, the black horse rider is this, and they're still wondering, amen. But there's a little people in this hour on this earth that knows, amen, these mysteries, amen. So back to the title of the message is the sounding of the secret had to come at an appointed time, right? Luther could not reveal these things, right? It wasn't the end time yet. Wesley couldn't, and it couldn't come during Pentecost. It had to be the end time prophet to reveal these things, amen? So again, the question that I ask again is, why was it so important for us to have those seals revealed? And I'm going to try to go a little quickly. Amen. All right. Look what Brother Branham says here. And I apologize. I'm going to do a lot of reading. But you just forgive me and just try to take as much as you can. Amen. And just be patient. Now, this is on the third seal. Now, that's what's the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had, watch what he says, we haven't had a real stirring. He says, no, sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Now, you can have your own personal revival, right? And it should be every day, correct? But as far as got millions and millions of church members and people, amen, We don't have those things anymore. Now, the world would like to make you think that that's what's happening, right? But the news and the media, they present to you anything they want to, and you have no clue if it's real or not. Well, they've got millions and millions of church members, but not a real revival nowhere. No, Brother Branham says. Now, watch what he says. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. Amen? See, there's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride. He pinpoints it to the bride. Amen? To the bride yet. Yet. We're looking for it now, right? We're looking for it now. How do we do that? By what you just did tonight. You came to church. Praise God. You prayed. You read the word. Amen. And I hope in your prayers you kept me in prayer. Praying for one another. Amen. Being our brother and sister's keeper. Amen. Loving one another. Praise God. See, we're looking for it now. I'll take those. Now watch what he says. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. So it's important for these thunders, amen, because the thunders, remember, the thunders are the mysteries contained in the seals, right? So every seal that was opened, the mystery, each thunder was, the mystery was revealed as well, right? To wake her up again, see, yet he'll send it. Brother Branham was confident. He'll send it. He promised it. Amen. Now watch. Praise God. Brother Branham also talks about, and we all know these quotes, amen, but we're just going over again kind of slow. Says, now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mysteries. Watch, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. So I believe it is important, and it behooves us, amen, to pay attention, amen, to these seals. Not just because Brother Wade's preaching them, amen, but Brother Branham, amen, was they were open to Brother Branham 63 years ago. So, and of course, Brother Dale, he preached them again back in the 1980s. So it behooves us to pay attention and not just to take them nonchalant and, oh, it's another sermon and let's go to Dairy Queen afterwards. No, it's important. Dairy Queen, Culver's, whatever you want. Eat these seals first. Amen. Then you'll enjoy your Culver's or whatever you want afterwards, and you'll enjoy it with such, I'm chewing this sourdough melt so good. Amen. Because I've enjoyed these seals. Praise God. Amen. He will reveal these mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now watch what Brother Branham says here. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths. These. What are these? The seven thunders. That literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. Amen. Now, somebody asked Brother Branham in 1964, were the thunders revealed in the seals? The question was, have the seven thunders, which equals seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? And Brother Branham's reply was, no, they were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. Right? They was to reveal the seven thunders that had uttered their voices, and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was. Remember, he was about to write them. Right? But he was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel, in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed. Amen? So they're revealed. And the seventh angel is a messenger of the seventh church age. See. So it's that angel, amen, that was to reveal the thunders. All right. Now real quick. I want us to pay attention to this. That the thunders reveal what has already been written. Amen. And he said that this is in that day that he seen him come up down and he eat up the little book. And there was, he put one foot on land and one on the sea, and swore by him that lives and ever, that time shall be no more. And when he did, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John said he was about to write it. And he said, don't write it. See? And he sealed it. Amen? Now someone said, this is Brother Branham saying, now someone said, well, that seven seals then, Brother Branham, that will be revealed in the last day. Some great mystery, how we get closer to God. So in other words, what they're asking Brother Branham, that this seven thunders or whatever this mystery is it something that will help us get closer to God? Some great secret unknown thing. Because see, us as humans, we're thinking that it's some great unknown thing that is not anywhere in the scripture. But watch what Brother Branham says. Some great mystery how we get closer to God. And he said, no, Brother Branham says, no, sir, it can't be. He says, whosoever shall take one word from this Bible or add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. Now watch what he says. He says, what is it? Is a revelation on what has been missed back there to bring. It's already wrote here. Right? It's in here. It's to reveal what already has been written. Amen. Praise God. See? Because you can't add one thing to it or take one word from it. Amen? So the thunders isn't to just to reveal something new or bring something new. It's to quicken what was already here, which is should be what's already in you. Do you understand? So as this is being quickened, you should be being quickened as well. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because what God has done in you, amen, should be tied to this. It should be the same word. The Holy Ghost that God has given us is the exact word, amen, that created you. And is that word, amen, that he thought in the same thoughts that he had before the foundation of the world. Amen. So it's like I had here something with regards to, I don't know if it's coming through or not, but I don't know if y'all ever known, have you ever heard of these magic images? Remember this in the 90s? Y'all don't know what this is? I remember these books were very popular back then. And I don't know if they had them earlier before, but I started looking at them. And what it is it's an image. It's just an abstract image, right? And you think that it's just a bunch of butterflies and just a bunch of chaos. Amen. And to you, if you're looking at it just like that, that is what it is to you. Amen. But there's a way that you focus on it. And it's just the weirdest thing, because if you focus on it in a certain way, a 3D image pops out of it. And you see an actual image behind the image. Right? Oh my, praise God. It's the way you focus on the word, amen, is what you're focused on, amen. That you're going to see, amen, what God has for you, praise the Lord. See, God may have sent it to you in thunder form, right? But it's already, the clear picture of it is already in the word, amen. All you got to do is focus to the right voice, amen? Focus on the right voice and you're going to be able to see the image that God had seen of you even before the foundation of the world, amen? You're going to see exactly how God sees you. Oh, but I just don't. It's hard to see me that way. Look at all my gray hair and my back hurts now. I can barely walk and I can't, amen. But that's not what God saw at the beginning. Amen. And even some young people, they're walking like that now. But the things they eat now and things like that, it's aging them quickly. Right? I feel it sometimes. That just goes to show, amen, that there's something, amen, that there's something that you are desiring, amen. And if that something is out there for you, amen, that means that if you're desiring that, that means that's out there for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is what God is trying to show us. Amen. These things were called stereograms, magic eye pictures. All right. Let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 2. I want us to look at Esther here for just a moment. Amen. I just appreciate the Lord. Amen. How he comes in and just reveals things in simplicity. Amen. Right. Esther chapter 2. And we'll just read here at verse 8. It says, so it came to pass, and you can go back and read these things on your own. I'd go back and read, because Esther is a perfect type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just go back and read that whole story and you'll realize. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Right? Now, to me, Haggai is kind of like the Holy Spirit, right? Because Brother Branham is just a type, right? Because Brother Branham said that the tutor, amen, the one that teaches you, right? He's the one who's going to teach you and guide you unto every truth. Haggai was the keeper there who had custody over Esther. And he knew exactly what the king's palace looked like. He knew exactly the curtains he had, how his floor looked like, how his kitchen looked like. He knew all the details he needed to do in order to show Esther exactly how she needed to portray herself, right? The Holy Spirit, amen, in this hour, amen, teaches us and shows us exactly how to navigate this life. Amen. That's why. It's so important, amen, and for our young people, amen, to realize, amen, you want guidance in your life. You want somebody to be there, amen, because he said he'll never leave you or never forsake you, amen. Your parents may not be there or your pastor may not be there, but the Holy Spirit, amen, he said he will lead and guide unto all truth, amen. So, hey, she came under the custody of Haggai, and he was the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens. Now, but kind of interesting that it was seven maidens that was given to her to help her out. what has been given to us? Seven seals, seven thunders. Seven maidens, amen, to help her out, which were meet to be given her. And these seven maidens came out where? From the king's house. Amen. They came from the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people. Now watch this. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So in other words, if you know the backstory of Esther, her both of her parents had passed away. And Mordecai, which was her cousin, he took her in and he raised her as her own or as his own. But he always told her, don't reveal yourself, right? He saw that there was an opportunity for the king was looking for a wife because his denominational wife had forsaken his word, right? And didn't want to obey the word of the king, amen, or didn't want to stay with the king, amen. So she left and he was desiring another wife. So Mordecai took advantage and said, Hadassah, I believe is her real name. He said, hey, why don't you go? And he must have had confidence in her beauty because the Bible says that she was very beautiful. And so it's amazing how Mordecai, amen, he's kind of like a type of the prophet in this hour. Amen. Praise God. He has confidence that this bride, that everything that he's preached, amen, somebody, this bride is going to grab a hold of it and is going to move forward with it. Amen. Praise God. So during this time, what Esther is doing exactly what Mordecai had told her to do. Do not reveal yourself to the people while you're in that king's court. Amen. Don't let them know that you are Jew. Don't let them know, amen, your background. Just make them think that you're one of them, right? And in verse 11. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Amen. I'm so glad that we had a prophet to preach. Amen. And we have 1,100 messages. Amen. To make sure that this bride is well fed. Amen. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, watch this, she required nothing but what Haggai being a type of the Holy Ghost, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. So this bride, amen, doesn't, if the word doesn't say it, she doesn't follow it, amen? If it's not in the scriptures, amen, she doesn't go with it. Why? Because the scriptures were written by the Holy Spirit, amen? And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her, amen? So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, I can't say that, into his house, royal, watch, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year. 10-7. It's kind of interesting. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. She was so beautiful. She didn't go out just like the other women, amen? All the other women, they desired to go out to make sure they got decked up and they bought the latest perfumes and the best apparel and the best attire, amen? But not Esther. Esther was saying, whatever you tell me, hey, God, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. That's the simplicity of the bride, amen? It's whatever you want, Lord Jesus. That's what I desire to do. Are we willing to do that? Amen. In this hour, Lord, whatever you desire of me to do, because whatever it is that will please the king, that's what I desire to do. Lord, whatever I must go through, amen, in order to obtain your favor, in order to obtain favor, amen, that's what I must do. Praise God. Amen. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet, and watch what it says here, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. So Esther was very zealous about making sure, keeping the word of the prophet. Amen? Praise the Lord. And see, this is how you're walking in this hour, amen, with this secret lying within you. And the world has no idea. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that secret? Now, we'll just quickly read here, because Satan, he's just constantly proving. You know, he went to Jesus one day, amen, on top of the mountain, and he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones. If you can make these stones to be turned bread. I mean, he was just there proving. No matter how much Holy Ghost you have, no matter, that's when the battles truly begin. Amen. And Haman enters the picture in Esther chapter 3, and it says here, and after these things, King Ahasuerus promotes Haman, the son of Hamaditha and Agahai, and advances him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, the prophet of the hour, bowed not, nor did him reverence. Amen. All the other ones, they kissed the Pope's ring, but Brother Branham didn't. They all came before the Pope's presence, and they kissed the toe ring. They kissed every ring he had. Amen. Even the great ones that you might think they didn't, they did. But Brother Branham didn't. Amen. He wasn't going to bow down to the man of sin. Now in chapter 4, and this is where, and I just, we'll just be here all night, but That's just as more impactful when we read it. So now it says, and Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. So just backstory. We know that Haman, he got upset because Mordecai never bowed down to him. And when you don't bow down to him, he's still trying to probe. He's still trying to figure out. And he's upset because he can't find the secret that lies within you. Amen? Right? And so he's there probing. And so he comes up with this plan to destroy the Jews. Amen? And he gives it to the king. And the king says, well, sounds good, and puts his seal on it. And it's in movement, right? This plan. And so Mordecai gets word of this plan, and the Queen Esther is already in the palace. We all know the story. And so watch what Mordecai does. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go in unto the king. So we've got the message in this hour. Amen. Praise God. We know the end of the devil, right? We know the end of the book. Praise God. And to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that they may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Amen. I want to stop there for just a moment. Praise God. Because the king had not gone anywhere. The king was still there. The king was still at the palace. Esther could have come to the king at any time she wanted to. Right? Because she was his wife. But of course, you know, she said that she had not been called. Amen. You can come to the king anytime you want to. Amen. The king's waiting. Sometimes we're wondering, well, why is my life going this way? Why am I backslid? Why is it that I can't seem to get exactly where I want to get? Amen. The king's there waiting. Amen. It just depends of how bad do you want to see him? Amen. She had waited 30 days to see the king. And watch, and they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement, deliverance, arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And watch, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is what Mordecai is telling Esther, amen? And this is exactly what Jesus was telling the people, amen, when even his time was coming, amen? For this time have I come. For this time you have come, amen? This is the time for you to shine, amen? This is the time, amen, for that secret, amen, that's laid in you to be revealed, amen, praise God. Hallelujah. Then Esther, because things were getting bad. Esther, Mordecai, and all the Jews, amen, they were facing certain death. Oh, my. Don't wait for hard times like that to come for you, amen, to have to go see the king. Amen? To have fellowship with the king. Praise God. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And watch, and if I perish, I perish. Amen. We have to get to a point in this hour, amen, that it doesn't matter what it takes. No matter what I have to do, no matter if I have to boohoo and cry or whatever I have to do, amen. If I want an audience with the King, amen. And if I want the Holy Spirit, if I want my healing, whatever it is that you desire, amen. You've got to do whatever it takes to obtain what you have, amen. Because remember, it's already for you. Amen. And something, amen, something cried out within Esther, amen, on the guidance of Mordecai, on the guidance of the word that was given to her in that hour, amen, for her to do what was not decreed in the law to do, amen. Praise God. Sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone in order to do something that may seem strange and confusing and weird to the world, amen. But that's exactly what God wants you to do, amen, in order to save your life. Now, real quick here in Esther chapter 5. Now, it came to pass, this is the next chapter, on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. Amen. She's dressing in the word, amen. Even in the midst of chaos, she's dressing in the word and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, amen, that she obtained favor in his sight. Oh, that's all she needed to do. Sometimes we think, I can't, I don't know if God is going to be able to accept my forgive me, but God, all he's waiting for you is for you to come in. Amen. He's waiting there for you to come in and to enter his courts. Amen. That she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Amen. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given to thee over the half of the kingdom. Amen. She obtained grace, amen, to ask whatever she wanted. Now, at this point, she could have told the king, Haman has come up with a plan. We're about to be destroyed. But she held all that for a later time. Right? Praise God. Amen. And we can keep reading, but she then invites the king and invites Haman for a banquet. And she has them come to a banquet and they enjoy. And then the king asks her again, what is it that you want? I'll give you even half of my kingdom. And she had the favor of the king now, so she could have asked whatever she wanted to, right? But remember, she was still holding this secret within her. The king did not know that she was a Jew. Nobody else knew that but Mordecai. Right? And this secret was still laying in her. Oh my, praise God. And so she says, come back the next day. And so she has them come the next day, Haman and the king again. And then during this whole time, Haman gets mad and upset at Mordecai again. Because Mordecai won't bow down to him. So he has a big old gallows, 75 feet tall, made just for Mordecai. And that's exactly what Esther was waiting for. Amen. This whole time, amen, she's waiting for the exact right moment. Amen. She has them come the next day when Haman thinks that, you know, he can't be defeated. He's got it all figured out, all the pride and everything. Amen. Just like many are today. Amen. We can't be defeated. We can't. We're going to be able to overcome. We're this, that, and the other. Amen. Just be careful. Amen. Because fall usually comes after pride. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here comes the king and Haman and they eat, and then the king, amen, in chapter 6, I believe, in chapter 7. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. So she reveals everything that was in her, amen, right there before the king. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondsmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Amen. Esther waits, amen, to reveal her secret when Haman's arrogance and pride was at its maximum. Amen. And that's when the king, amen. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. He was so wroth, and he had laid himself even on the Bible says that he had laid himself even on Queen Esther's couch, and the queen said, thought that he was defiling her, and makes him even more upset. Praise God. So it's at the right moment and at the right time, amen, when God, everything that is taking place in your life, amen. Because remember, Brother Branham said that there's going to be a little time, a little squeeze. I don't know if we're into transition in that. I don't know. Amen. But it's at the right moment and at the right time. Not exactly when you want it. Amen. God has times predestinated, amen, for exact moments and right moments, amen, for what God has placed inside of you to come out. Amen. Because this cup, amen, the cup of the Amorites has to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? This cup of wickedness and this thing has to get fuller and fuller and fuller. And then, amen, what's inside of you can truly shine. Praise God. Oh my, it's wonderful. Amen. If you just realize when you look at it and you're seeing it and you get all these things and you're looking and reading these things and the way you're seeing it in your mind, amen, if you could just describe it in that exact same way. But I just trust that the Lord will just show it to you. Amen. Brother Branham says, now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. Amen? Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, and I want you to understand that right there is what's in you. That secret is what's laying in you right now. Something's got to spark it, amen? Might be more tribulation, more problems, more sickness, whatever it may be. But that secret is laying in you, amen? And it's to, at some point, amen, to cause you, amen, to have complete favor before. It's not that you don't have favor before God, amen, but if we just look at Esther as a type, complete favor before the queen, before the king, amen, and Satan to eventually have his head conked for good. Praise God. Amen. And what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Who could stand against Esther right there when she stood right next to the king, even though the secret came out? Did he get upset at her and said, you're a Jew? What? Who did I marry? What did I marry? No. He didn't care who she was. That was his bride. That was his wife. That was who he had picked. Amen. And he's chosen us before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. Amen. So there's nothing, no two greater sin that you can do. Amen. Except for the sin of unbelief in his word. Because, I mean, that's ultimately, God can't do nothing if you can't believe what God has said about you already. Amen. It's laying in his word. But if you don't take it personally for you, and realize that you are this true church, this great church, amen, in this hour, then you can't fulfill this, what Brother Branham is saying here. But if you realize who you truly are, and when Satan's talking to you, amen, when Satan's telling you, amen, and condemning you and telling all, that's all he's doing. He's just talking. He has no power, amen, to influence what God has already said about you in his word. Because what God has said about you in his word, it's already being decreed. God has already given you and has given you the scepter. You've touched the scepter. You've touched the handle, the handle of the word, amen. That pearly handle, amen. That Brother Branham saw when he said that sword was coming down to him. He touched it, he grabbed it, amen. That's the same thing that you've grabbed in this hour. Because let me say the saints, and I'm getting ready to close. But that word, amen, wasn't just for Brother Branham. Those seven thunders, those seals, wasn't just for him, amen, to take back with him and for you not to receive nothing. That was for you, amen? Because Jesus said, remember what he said? He said it thundered, that voice came, amen, not for me, but for your sakes. As we read there in John chapter 12. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Amen. I believe that he's powerless now. Amen. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail against him. Amen. And when the Lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he become not a lamb, but a lion king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Amen. It was when Esther came forth, amen, with that secret that laid in her, amen. That is when she could go ahead and just judge just alongside with the king. Amen. So we finish with this. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, amen, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This same treasure, amen, that light in Brother Branham is in you tonight, right? And God needed a seventh grade education man to speak these things and to use him so that the power wouldn't be to Brother Branham. Amen. The glory wouldn't be for Brother Branham because Brother Branham had no idea. He preached the seals. He preached them in the 50s and they were totally wrong. So we know it wasn't Brother Branham. Amen. It had to have been God. Amen. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. Paul's not saying here that we're not going to go through these things. We're going through these things. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Praise God. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. This is the hour, amen, for you to manifest what God has placed in us. Amen. You think about it, saints, that, you know, when this, I just think about this resurrection, you know, the resurrection, when it takes place, and I don't know all the details behind it. You know, have you ever just kind of sat down and just thought about how things are? You know, Brother Branham told us a couple of things, and the prophets don't know everything, right? But he could only tell us what he thought things were. But you know, it could be in a time, amen, where things are so chaotic, and you think, and you might be thinking, wow, there's no more hope, right? And that's when God comes on the scene with something such as great as a resurrection. Yeah. right? The world is in turmoil, and things are taking place, and maybe even your life is in turmoil, right? And then God steps on the scene right there at the right moment, at the right time, and gives you hope. Do you think that you'll be worried about what's going on in the world at that moment? Do you think that you'll even be concerned about your sickness at that moment? That you'll even be concerned about the credit card payment for tomorrow, or the school test that you have the next day, or whatever it may be? Nobody else will be concerned at that moment, right? But you don't have to be. You don't have to wait for a resurrection for that to happen. Let me take a swig of this. Yeah. You don't have to wait till then for that to happen. Amen. God wants you to exercise that now. Amen. Right now, because when are we the sons and daughters of God? Now are we the sons and daughters of God? Not at the not just at the resurrection. We're the sons and daughters of God then, but now the Bible says, are we the sons and daughters of God? And we shine, amen, when trouble is at its greatest. Amen? That's when this thing shines the best. And that's when Satan, amen, he's trembling at his hoofs, I guess. If we know he's not like the way Hollywood portrays him, but you get what I'm saying. That's the reason why he's going crazy now, because he knows his hand is about to come down, and somebody is going to take, amen, this full word in this hour, amen, and manifest it to the coming of the Lord, amen. And I declare that I hope that that's you and me. Don't hope so. Don't think so. Amen. Know so, and just know by declaring what the word says about you. Not what your thoughts say, not what your mind says, but what the word says. Because the word is what's going to create the body change, right? It's what's going to give us a body change. Amen. I hope that this was all right. Let's stand to our feet. Man, I apologize for taking your time. I'm sorry I did a lot of reading, but you just go back and study things on your own. And I hope that the Lord would just fill in the blanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just kind of get happy, amen, when I listen to Brother Branham. Brother Branham wasn't yeah, he didn't speak, you know, very clearly. He wasn't, amen, but right now he's got so many people love this message, love this word around the world, with his seventh grade education, with the way he spoke, and the totes and haints and the things, and yet he has such a great following, amen, of the message that he preached in the hour that we're living in, amen. So it wasn't the message of a man, it was the message of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity that you've given us to open back the pages of your word. And Lord God, we realize, Father, that without you, we can do nothing, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the revelation of your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've placed these things, these types in the word, Lord. And you've given us, Father God, meat in the hour that we're living in, Father. We pray, Lord, that the word may fall, Father, exactly where it needs to fall, Lord. And I don't know what the needs of the people are here, Father, but you know. And I pray, Lord God, that the word that was spoken, Father God, may meet that need, Father, directly. We love you. We commit ourselves into your hands the rest of this evening. And we ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing something real quick.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro. upper room and baptize all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the in me. I love him that is in me. I love him that is in me. Than he that is in the world.
One more time. Greater is he.
Greater is he that is in me.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to go ahead and be dismissed. If anybody has anything on their heart, anything pressing, anything I'm forgetting, Sister June or anything. Okay. All right. Well, let's. Yeah. Remember the shooting practice this Sunday? Sunday. Yeah. This Sunday after service. We're going to go all shoot up. Brother, wait. No, we're not. Because that's the Queen's house, too, there. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So let's just go ahead and be dismissed as we sing this once again. Go ahead, brother.
He that is
God bless you.
Greater is he that